it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park on this rather hazy Sunday afternoon. Today, the Orioles are looking for what would be a fourth consecutive victory. At the same time, they tried to attain a three-game sweep at Fenway Park, something they have not accomplished since September of 2014. So, yeah, dare to sweep at Fenway on this Sunday afternoon. And again today, the Orioles will be in their fluorescent orange as the players' weekend uniforms again come into play and try to stay unbeaten in those uniforms. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the Geico manager's report right after this. All right, Joe Angel back at Fenway Park. See, the Orioles are today looking for a fourth consecutive victory. They're trying to sweep the Red Sox here in a three-game series at Fenway Park. They're very much in contention for the postseason. Right now, just two games out of the wild card. Tim Beckham is going berserk with his offensive numbers. Since the All-Star break, Manny Machado has maybe been the best player in the major leagues. Yesterday, Scope became the greatest offensive second baseman in Orioles history. Trey Mancini, one of the top rookies in baseball. So today, when he met with the media, Buck Showalter was asked about, J.J. Hardy.
Good. He's going to play today, I think. I think the shoulder's making progress. He feels fine there. He needs to get some at-bats, but it's not far. Close. Depending on what you define as close.
Well, the rosters are expanded. Rosters are expanded on Friday.
Yes, they are.
Before then or after then?
If he and Bobby feel like he's ready, he'll come before then. It's got nothing to do with the roster expansion. It's when he's ready to pitch. I mean, to play. I'm saying that all along. But why is that so newsworthy? Because of the impending thereafter?
And also because
why bite off from tomorrow? What deal with it tomorrow? When do we get there? People like to project.
Well, because that's the only.
What would you do?
That's the only person you have on the disabled list, so it's the only person we can ask an
injury. Oh, that's true. Harvey's doing well.
Is that an accomplishment itself? Though you're happy you could have a clean, not to jinx it, but disabled, as I know I should have said that.
We're not even going to answer.
Here we go.
There, you're out.
Wonder what you've been doing. I know all teams deal with stuff, but just
everybody does. Yeah. At different periods, it's tougher than other ones. You know you're going to deal with it. Some people make all this, analyzation of a 25-man roster when you come out of camp, which you should, and I'm glad you do. But we all know it's about a 35-man roster. You're going to see 35 to 40 players, and the strength and depth of that sometimes dictates your success. This is the last day we're wearing the orange, the fluorescent. You might see these again. We win today. You may see these again. I should have had that bright orange down the. I've got to see some shoes I didn't know existed. Have you seen Flaherty's Vandy shoes? I told him I was going to play him here at Fenway until I saw his shoes. He doesn't wear them in the game. You know, when he went in the other night, he had on a different pair of shoes. Some great shoes. I was trying to find one of those fake diamond studs. I have one, but I don't know what I did with it. I looked all through my briefcase. I was going to wear one. Mm-hmm. I got a couple phone calls, probably from my kids, thinking I lost my mind. What else?
I know that with Zach, he had the MRI and everything.
He's not throwing right now.
Having 2 days where you don't need him in a safe situation better for just kind of peace of mind?
No, he needs, if he physically feels like it, he needs to get out there. Velocity and arm, everything feels fine. Stuff-wise, he's fine. But, we'll see how it goes today. Roger and him are out in the bullpen now.
What have the reports been on Joey Rickard down there in Norfolk, kind of getting settled?
Good. Joey had a really good game defensively last night. Joey's been throwing better this year. And, I know it's a real tribute. So many outfielders at this level lose arm strength because they don't throw enough. Kerb's really good about it. He makes them throw to a target every day. And that's something that our guys have maintained their arm strength. In a lot of cases, gotten better. And Joey's doing well. He'll looks like he's on slate to rejoin us. At some point, we'll. I see Dan's here today, so we may talk some about that. Because there's so many things, like, you know, I've got a list, but then there's some things you need to know about that I don't know about that may, you know, it's a lot more to it than just saying here's, you know, we're actually looking at batting practice throwers with the addition of people trying to get a left-handed thrower for September. We're facing, I think, after today, 3 out of 4 left-handed pitchers.
Yeah, Seattle tomorrow night at Camden Yards. The finale of Fenway on this rather hazy but sometimes sunshiny Sunday afternoon. Doug Fister, a right-hander for the Red Sox. He's won 3 games. And Wade Miley, the left-hander for the Orioles, who's won 3 of his last 4 decisions. Nice to have you aboard. Jim Hunter, in a moment. He's got you got Duke, right? Yeah, he's got Dan Duquette, the man who brought you Tim Beckham. Nicely done. The warm-up show next on the Orioles Radio Network.
From Fenway Park in Boston, Orioles and Red Sox wrap up this 3-game weekend series as the Birds go for a sweep. Orioles looking for a 4th consecutive win. Dan Duquette up next on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Red Sox, Fenway Park in Boston, finale of this 3-game series, and the Birds in position for a 3-game sweep, and visiting with the Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations, Dan Duquette. And Dan, this is always a critical week leading up to August 31st if teams are going to make trades to solidify the roster for a possible postseason run. Do you expect a lot of activity this week, or are you pleased with what you have?
Well, we're always looking around to try to supplement the team, and this is the last chance that you can add players to go into October and to help you in the playoffs, get them effectively registered for your roster. So we're looking around. We're talking to clubs. We've been scouring the waiver list every day and trying to acquire players. And then there's this number of players that got through trade waivers, so they're eligible to be traded from club to club. And there's a little bit more definition to the race. Not much. I mean, there's still a lot of contenders for that second wild card in both leagues. So, you know, we're still in the fight. And when we're in the fight, we're always looking to add to our team. So we're going to see if we can do anything to add to our club. I am encouraged by the play of some of the guys we had at AAA. I think they're going to be able to come up and help our club and be a good complement to us for the month of September.
Is it especially challenging this year because, as you mentioned, there are so many clubs that are still mathematically alive, and I would imagine none of them wants to give up until mathematically they're out of it?
Well, exactly. You know, John Harrington, the owner of the Red Sox, was on that committee, and he was the chair that came up with that wild card idea. And then it was worked out so well. It was such a good idea for the clubs. It gave hope in so many markets that they came up with a second wild card. And the fans seem to like the drama of the play-in game. It's a you know, sudden death, sudden victory playoff between the 4th and 5th teams that qualify. And the teams that end up winning that game have done pretty well in the tournament. They've done pretty well in the playoffs. A couple of them have gone on to win the World Series. So there's still hope. And, you know, if we can get our starting pitching organized like we have the last 3 days, you know, we have a shot.
You've done a really good job this year of adding players as the season has gone on. And let's go all the way back earlier in the year. You get Miguel Castro from the Colorado Rockies. And at the time, it looked like it was a depth move. And all of a sudden, here he is at 22 years old, one of the critical guys in your bullpen.
Well, he's a really special talent. I mean, he's got great size. He has good youth. And he lacks some experience. He went from A-ball to the big leagues. And we knew that when we took him and sent him to Double-A. So he's been able to work effectively with our pitching coaches, probably the most with Ramon Martinez, who's helped him with his delivery. He's gotten him in shape. We've encouraged him to use his changeup, which they had him put in his back pocket out in Colorado, and he's developed a killer slider. That's a really good one. So he's helped us a lot. He's made a good contribution to the team, and you know, we're glad we have him. And at 22 years old, hopefully he'll be a contributor for years to come.
And the Tim Beckham trade, that came out of nowhere. Usually in baseball, there are rumors everywhere about player movement. And the Beckham trade caught everybody by surprise. And here you have a young shortstop who, since you got him, is the best hitter in the league. I mean, it's a brilliant move because he's added energy to this team.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jimmy. He's a really talented player, and we got him. And we've seen a lot of him because he's played against us. But knowing that he was the first player taken in the draft a few years ago really speaks to the quality of his talent. And to Tim's credit, he's come here and he's been one of the best players in the league. He's made the plays in the field. He's used the whole field. He's got really good power to right, which makes him a big-time power hitter. And whenever you have a big-time power hitter at shortstop, it's a real spark plug to the team, and that's what he's done for us. It's a lot of fun to watch Machado and Scope, but now it's even more fun to watch Machado, Scope, and Beckham because they're all good players. And, you know, lo and behold, they've all been the American League Player of the Week here over the last month. I mean, you know, they've earned it. But I'll tell you what, they have earned it because they have listened to what Scott Kubal has been telling them to use the whole field. You can't get that award without hitting the ball the other way, the way those guys have effectively over the last month.
All right, we know it's all about pitching. Orioles have won three in a row, three consecutive quality starts, not a coincidence. Are you confident that the group you have, if you can't add, can do what you know they're capable of? Because that's what's been frustrating about this year. These starters have track records, but they just haven't pitched up to their capability with consistency.
Well, I was happy to see we gave an extra day's rest to Hellickson. And on that, when he gets that extra day this year, I think he's like 7-1. And he pitched a good game against the Red Sox the other night. Gausman's had a very good second half. He's done a good job. And Bundy's been our best pitcher all year, so they've done a good job. And it's really a matter of the veteran players stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do. We've gotten some contribution here from Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo. They've contributed offensively like we know they're capable of, and we're going to need the pitchers that we have on the roster, like Miley today, like Jimenez, like Chris Tillman. We're going to need a contribution from them for this club to make the playoffs.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park in the win column again today. Yeah, the Orioles with their fourth consecutive victory. Yeah, the last time they won four in a row was back in on August 2nd. And at the time, that was their fifth consecutive victory when they won the last couple of games in Texas. And then they swept Kansas City in a three-game series. And so today, they make it four in succession. And they are now 10-6 against the Boston Red Sox so far this season. And in the game today, they got a couple of runs against Doug Fister in the first inning. They got nothing after that. Wade Miley living dangerously, but he wins it to run his record to 8-10. Bullpen outstanding. Michael Givens got a couple of big outs. And then eventually Miguel Castro, 1 2/3 scoreless. And then Brad Brock came out of the bullpen, and he went an inning and 2/3 innings to pick up his 17th save. Zach Britton, by the way, today never warmed up. So I'm sure Buck will be asked about that with the media after the game. Right away, Orioles had the early advantage against Doug Fister. Tim Beckham led the game off with a base hit. And then with two outs, after Beckham had gone to third base on a balk, that's when Jones came up and knocked him in. Here comes the pitch. Adam hits it hard. Fair ball over third. That ball is down the line. That ball is in the corner. It'll drive in a run. Benintendi digs it out and then gets it back into third base. And Adam Jones gets it done again with the runner in scoring position. He picks up his 65th RBI, and it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. Just like that, then moments after that, Trey Mancini, well, he doubled his fun, too. And now the 1-2 to Mancini. There's a fly ball the other way, heading for the corner. On the run, Mookie Betts. He cannot get to it. The ball takes a big bounce and then bounces around the pesky pole. That is going to be a ground rule double. And so Jones comes in to score. That's a two-out double. And the Orioles have doubled the lead. It is now 2-0 in the first inning. Well, there you go. Wade Miley went to work in the bottom of the inning. He gave up a one-out single to Benintendi, a double to Mookie Betts. And so the Red Sox had runners on second and third with only one out. But then Miley struck out Ramirez, and then he went to work on Young. And the pitch. Fly ball, left field, playable. Little pop-up, actually. Backing up is Manny. Machado in left field to make the catch. So Wade Miley works out of it. The Red Sox at second and third, only one out, and Miley does not let them score. No, he did not. In the second inning, he gave up a one-out double, but again, he would not allow them to score. In the third, with two outs, a walk and a single. But again, Miley would not allow them to score. In the fourth inning, he gave up a one-out single, but there were no damage done. In the fifth inning, a leadoff single, and then with two outs, a walk to Benintendi. And so, again, the Red Sox were in business. After a walk to Ramirez, they had the bases loaded for Young. Well, again, Miley in a position where he's got to make some pitches. In danger territory, living dangerously, and so far surviving. One ball, no strikes to count. And the pitch, Young fly ball, right center. He may have done it again. Coming on is Smith. He's under it to make the catch, and Wade Miley survives again. And this time the Red Sox leave the bases loaded. The Red Sox in five innings have stranded nine base runners against Miley. And at that point, they were 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. But guess what? Miley came out for the sixth inning and gave up a leadoff double. And then Buck came out to make a pitching change. He brought in Givens, who got a big strikeout, and then he went to work on Devers.
The 2-2 pitch, swing and a pull. That's a fair ball down the right field line. That's a base hit. Rounding third, heading for the plate is Bogarts, and heading to second with an RBI double is Rafael Devers. So a tremendous at-bat by Devers as he kept fouling off real good pitches. And he pulls a double down the line. Boston within a run, and the tying run is at second base with only one down.
So there you go. Givens after that, after that double, he walked the next batter. He did strike out Nunez to get the second out. But then that's when Givens would leave. Blyer came in to face a lefty, and he walked him on four pitches. Exit Blyer, enter Miguel Castro, who got two strikes on Mookie Betts.
Castro leans in to get a sign. Runners will be off with the pitch. There they go, and the 3-2 is a called strike three. He got him. 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and Castro gets out of the jam. Another outstanding job by Miguel Castro. So the Red Sox settle for a run, and for a second time in this game, Boston has left the bases loaded. They have left 11 men through six innings.
How about that? At that point, they were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Now, Castro did walk a couple of guys in the seventh inning, but he also got a big double play ball to work out of it. And eventually, it was Brad Brock after Castro had walked his third man in the eighth inning. With only one out, Brock came in. He got Nunez on a little fly ball, and then he went to work on Benintendi. Benintendi is the 1-0 pitch. As a drive out toward Gentry, a line drive. He is there. He's going to make the catch about chest high. That ball was smoked. At that time, Gentry was right there, did not misjudge it. That is out number three. And now the Red Sox in this game have gone 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Well, there you go. Yeah, they would leave 13 base runners on in this game. Brock came out. Zach Britton was in the bullpen. He had the jacket on, but he never warmed up. So obviously, unable to pitch. Buck will be asked about that. Brock came out for the ninth. He got Betts on a ground out. He got Ramirez on a pop-up. And then he went to work on the lefty, Mitch Moreland. Brock takes a look. Moreland digs in. And the right-hander is ready. He delivers. Moreland swings and he bounces one to Davis back at first. He's got it. Underhand to Brock. And that's the final out. It is over at Fenway. Orioles again in the win column. They sweep a three-game series. The first time they've swept a three-game series at Fenway in almost 3 years, back in September of 2014. Wow, what a tea party this was. And what a road trip. They go 3-0 in Boston. At the same time, they pass a whole bunch of teams in the wild card race. And now they're coming home for 10 more games. Yeah, and they come home a 500 team. So tomorrow night against Seattle, they've got a chance to have a winning record again. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Brad Brock, he's got Buck Showalter, he's got all the goodies as we continue with the Browns Honda City postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park as the Orioles win a thriller, holding off the Red Sox by a final of 2-1. So the Orioles improve. They are now 7-31 in games in which they have scored two runs or less. And as Joe pointed out several times, it is hard to win a game, period, when you score only two runs. And the Orioles now have seven wins on the year. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments. Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne.
Buck, very impressive three-game performance by your club.
So proud of him. Boy, what a great pitching effort we had. What a job Wellington did today, and some timely defensive plays. Gentry made two. Playing right field in a day game in this ballpark is really hard. And got a big double play from a three-depth instead of a two-depth. Guys really handled it well.
You really got to do some work to make two runs in the first inning stand up in a ball game, don't you?
You don't like your chances in this place, especially as good a team as they are. And we walked, what, eight guys today? And I'm trying not to say made some pitches when we had to, but really fun to watch a young pitcher like Castro. I've told you since the day he got here, he ain't scared.
Yep.
But, you know, it's nice to see him make a contribution again when we, you know, without Zach today. Hopefully we're going to have him tomorrow.
And nice to have Brad ready to just jump in on these occasions and pick it up again.
Brad's closed out some one-run games in the major leagues, and you know, he'd had 3 days off. A little disappointed that Michael threw 27 pitches to get two outs. We were hoping to take them both inning plus so we stay on our feet for the next day, but you know, Brad kept his down to a minimum. That was probably his, you know, Castro obviously, but some big hits. I thought we had first and third nobody out and didn't push a run across, I think, in the fourth. I was afraid that was going to bite us.
Well, your momentum doesn't necessarily carry over. It certainly is nice to come in here and win three to take home, isn't it?
You know, anytime you can get back into Baltimore, I wish all the fans could feel it's like our clubhouse. They call it Happy Ride. You know, we, you know, on the plane, landing, you know, going home, you know, it's daylight in Baltimore. And, you know, these guys deserve to feel some positive vibes. It's hard to do what they did. And, you know, but it's turned a page. Another team coming in that's ahead of us in this playoff race.
All right, Skip. Thank you.
Thank you.
So post-game comments of Buck Showalter. And as you heard, Buck said Zach was not available today, but they're hopeful that he will be available tomorrow. But no further discussion on Zach Britton and his availability for the game. He never did warm up. In fact, never did take the warm-up jacket off. So Brad Brock did a real nice job as he holds on and gets the save going an inning and two-thirds, retired all five batters that he faced. All five batters that he faced. All five batters that he faced. All